Hey, let's talk about last week. Last week's episode, if I may be so bold, and this, I guarantee, is not me seeking sympathy. Let's be honest, last week's episode was not my greatest work. Was it? And I've spent about, I don't know, there's 7 days in a week, and I've spent the last 4 days, maybe even 4.5 days, thinking, what was last week's episode? Thing is, guys, last week was the first time in 30 weeks that I actually took a chainsaw to the episode and, like, edited it before you saw it. And I listened to it back because I like to, I don't know. I like the fact that this podcast is very free-flowing and it's not scripted, and I just like to say whatever comes to me at the time. But because last week was one of the latest times I've ever recorded an episode, it was almost midnight. I listened to it back before I released it and I thought, what are you talking about? I liked like the first 20 minutes and I just started falling asleep. So I took a massive machete to last week's episode. And you'd think I'd have learnt my lesson, but no, not at all. It is now Thursday, the 20th of August, 10 minutes past 11 in the evening. This episode will be coming out tomorrow morning, as it always does. And here I am recording this episode at exactly the same time as last week. So I can't guarantee that this won't be a disaster again, but the difference this week is I have booze. Oh. Yes, booze. Welcome back. Which week was it when I had booze on the show? Was it 2 weeks ago? It might have been episode 28 or something. And it's, yeah, today's been a long day for me. So I thought, you know what, I'm gonna have a beer with you. So go and get one yourself. Unless you're listening to this in the morning, then definitely don't, because that's just weird. I wonder if I do have any daytime drinkers on the show. Well, daytime drinkers are one thing. Morning drinkers, Jesus. Yeah, last week's episode was one that you got the director's cut. I think I edited out about 20 minutes of last week's episode because I was just rambling, going off on crazy tangents. The 55-minute version I put out was probably outstayed its welcome. I don't know. Listen, I'm acutely aware that artists can sometimes be a little bit too precious, and what we perceive as unwieldy, flabby, excessively long, you might have enjoyed. I don't know. So I am sensitive to the fact that maybe I'm being overly sensitive, but last week's episode was like, ugh. And last week involved me mentioning the girl that I just, that came to one of my PR events. She was clearly beautiful, so I sent her a direct message. So this week, I'm going to let you know whether she responded well to my direct message. So I'm going to be sharing that with you this week, or at least in this episode. I will also be mentioning my mate's birthday party that I went to last week. At said birthday party was arguably the most handsome human being I've seen in months, if not years, and he annoyed me. I'll be telling you about that guy. Plus, I had something else I was going to talk to you about this week, but I genuinely can't remember what it was, so let's just not worry about it. But yeah, I don't know. Let me know if you had any thoughts about episode 30. Interestingly, this has been a really nice week, and you have been sending me some direct messages, which I always enjoy. I'm gonna go through some of your direct messages regarding the show and you telling your friends about it, which I cannot thank you enough. But while I have a sip, can you just let me know how you are, please? How's your day been? What's given you anxiety this week? What have you been pulling your hair out about? For me, it's been, should you have really sent that message to that beautiful girl? Do you know what? I didn't even think about it at the time. I was so keen to just not overthink everything, which is my default. I was so keen to not overthink and just send her the message and let her know I thought she was cute. I didn't even take into account that there's nothing stopping her from sending the venue, who I want to be working with on future events, and saying, you know that guy that is delivering your training sessions? He, like, just hits on us afterwards, and I think you should be aware of it. I didn't even take that into account. Then I released the episode, and then I realised the next day that, oh, hang on a minute, that, like, you're almost the 2020 version of Harvey. Well, I'm not the 2020 version of Harvey. I mean, that's a stretch. But I think we're like, you know, society's super sensitive to direct messages now, and I don't know, maybe I'm overthinking it. But what I'm saying is, I had mild anxiety over sending that message the next day, and, you know, maybe a couple of days later. But then now, in the cold light of day, 6 days later, 7 days if you're listening to this on Friday, that has dissipated. That's the nature of anxiety, isn't it? If you give anxiety enough space, eventually it will fuck off. I've noticed that. It's weird. So now I put on my pragmatic hat and I thought about it and I thought, well, actually, technically, what have you done? What have you actually done to merit this anxiety? Did you send her a picture of your penis? No. Did you ask her to send you a picture of her boobs? No. Did you send her a picture of someone else's penis, which is more impressive than yours, in the hope it would be compelling to her? No. So what did you do, CK? I sent a message to a girl saying I thought she was cute. Right, then grow up, strap on a pair, and please stop boring me. Lots of love, anxiety. Yeah, and you know, once I looked at it through that filter, it all made sense. And I actually remember one of the few things I ever remember my big older sister saying to me. There's very few things she said that kind of sink in, but very, very young I was. And she said to me, look, if ever anyone's attractive, you think someone's cute, just tell them. Nobody ever doesn't want to hear that. For some reason, that's one of the only things that she's ever imparted on me of merit. That and Shawshank Redemption. She introduced me to Shawshank Redemption. She also introduced me to A Few Good Men. She's got a good history and introduced me to films. I'll give her that. But, you know, life stuff that a sister technically should be better at giving a brother than a brother should be giving another brother, you know. This is what you need to do, CK, to get laid. That's what a sister should do. So, yeah, and my sister's right. Whoever doesn't want to hear that they're beautiful, as long as that's not all you cite. I mean, that is technically all I cited in that message, but, you know. Anyway, side point. I'm going to tell you how that message, what's happened with that message in a minute. Let's go through some of your direct messages, which have been, given what I just explained, my mild concern and about last week's episode, thinking it was a bag of shit. There's been some nice messages. Some of these are a couple of weeks old, by the way, so they don't necessarily pertain to last week's episode, but Grace sent me this a couple of weeks ago after listening to episode 29. I think this was after episode 29, which was called Female Hypocrisy. Grace wrote, oh my God, I've had episode 29 blaring out in the office for the entirety, and I didn't realise how much penis and vagina talk there was. Let me explain how bad I felt when Grace sent me that message. I didn't feel bad at all. I mean, if you're listening to my podcast loud in the office, I'm afraid you deserve all repercussions because, you know, I've dropped the odd penis gag long before episode 29. I've discussed sex workers long before 29. What haven't I discussed before 29 that makes you think I'm going to feel sorry for you if you get reprimanded for listening to this podcast? This isn't a filthy podcast, but by the same token, mostly, I just spew what comes out of my mouth. out of my mind, out of my head. And invariably, all of those three categories are littered with filth. So, Gracie, I love you. Thank you sincerely for listening every week. That made me very happy. If you get sacked, I'm not interested. This morning I released a new trailer for the podcast. I've been led to believe having trailers for your podcast on Spotify helps. And I've always known it kind of works, but I'm actually quite lazy and I couldn't be arsed. But I thought this was a good week, so I put out the trailer. And Joe retweeted my trailer, also saying, give this podcast a listen. And it's my fave Friday podcast. It's great. There's also chat about cheap potatoes, body parts, and the occasional slurp of tea. Expect homework. I always enjoy giving you guys homework. 5-star review from Joe. So thank you, Joe, for joining in every single week. Joe has concerns that she's actually contributing too often and sending in too many comments and taking too much space on the podcast. But let's be honest, mate, I'm not exactly inundated. I do feel, however, that, you know, we're developing a slight little gang of us here on, there's a slight gang of us that enjoy knob gags, let's be honest, every week. That's literally all I do, mostly. So I'm grateful, and you're not taking up too much space, Joe, so feel free to continue chipping in with your 2 cents worth. This came a couple of weeks ago via Facebook, and this was odd. So this person lives in South Africa. She's called Zingisa. I hope that's how I pronounce it. Zingisa, South Africa. I can't remember how she discovered the podcast, but I think it was through one of my short films on YouTube. Then she found my Facebook. Then she found my podcast, etc. Zingisa writes, regarding episode 29, female hypocrisy, I think. So, CK, you made mention of your 9-inch schlong. Did I say 9 inches? Because I've been unnecessarily generous there. 8 3/4. So, CK, you make mention of your 9-inch schlong. Can't ignore that. You mentioned it several times. You were too sober to blame it on the alcohol. So, good on you, mate. Boredom, frustration, drunk, or just one horny hour. Who gives a shit? Good. I'm delighted that I'm not turning listeners away in spades. I think knob gags are dramatically underrated. I can't lie. I acknowledge they're immature, but I also acknowledge that they're funny as fuck. All right. I'll never not enjoy a knob gag. Never, ever. So we have another message here. And she goes on to say, you're the ideal drinking buddy. Your podcast is thought-provoking. Love the banter. And it doesn't take yourself too seriously. Be offended in your own time. I suspect she's saying that to people who are offended. I'm not aware that anybody's offended. So she says, I've been telling my friends about you, especially my UK-based friends. But it's not the same as a formal review. So, I don't agree. I think, you know, I've turned into such a podcast loser recently, figuring out what makes podcasts interesting. Because I want to provide something interesting. And also figuring out how do you grow, develop, nourish your podcast. And apparently humans telling their friends is obscenely effective. So if you want to tell your friends, then I will love you eternally, even more so than a review. But thank you for your reviews. Always eternally grateful. And yeah, thank you sincerely, friends, for sending me those direct messages. Now, do you know what, I'm gonna actually just tell you about the direct message now. So, as you know, last week's episode 30, which was called Deeply Uncomfortable, on account of how deeply uncomfortable it was for me to send that message to the cute girl who came to my event, I feel like I should have some dramatic pause while you guys are thinking, did she message him? I'd message CK just for that 8 3/4. No reply, but the thing is, you know what I just said like 5 minutes ago about how I overthink things? It's so easy to project, isn't it? It's so easy to project and think, oh, have I annoyed her? She thinks I'm a perv. Was it too much to send? They're my projections. I don't know whether she just forgot. I don't know whether she's not, where she doesn't give a fuck, whether she thinks I'm a weird. I don't know what she thinks. And as long as I don't know, there's nothing for me to gain from speculation. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm fine with, by the way, for the record, I don't actually know what I was expecting from that direct message, but I don't know that I was necessarily expecting nothing, but I don't know that I was expecting something. I don't think I actually thought beyond sending it, because I was so fucking caught up in how odd it felt. Seemingly she thought it was odd too. I don't know. But yeah, I didn't actually, no, none of you actually told me what your thoughts were on that. I spoke to my mate Mark. Did Mark tell me what he thought? He was just curious as to whether she'd replied, but he didn't tell me. Oh no, I tell a lie. Mark did think it was it seemed a bit thirsty for me to send her the message at 12:15. He agreed with me, because even I conceded that sending it at 12:15 looked like I was just horny and drunk late at night. But again, because I'm sensitive to how I overthink, I was like, okay, I'm going to send it anyway. And Mark was like, yeah, that did seem a bit, that did seem a bit thirsty, dude. That's all he said. But no, nobody has so far given me feedback on whether sending a message to someone that comes to one of your events is fine. I don't know if it makes a difference, but she didn't pay for the ticket because she was allocated a free one, because the venue I did the event, I gave them some free venues, some free tickets, excuse me, and she nabbed one of those. If she had paid the full 190 quid, would it have been odd for me to then say, thanks for your money, by the way, now that you've given me some money, I think I'm now justified in being a man. So, here's what I think about your face. The fact that she got it for free, I'm like, screw it. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, so this is, I was going to say this is to be continued, but it's really not. Let's be honest, right? If Bradley Cooper sent her a mess, why am I using Bradley Cooper? That's really weird. She'd responded to Bradley Cooper. But I don't know. I've got no evidence of that. Never mind. We will see. We'll pick this up another time. Let me tell you about my mate's birthday party that I went to last week. Quickly changing the subject. My mate. It was his birthday. Last week. Sunday. And I went. And at the party, I didn't know anyone there apart from Omar, whose birthday it was. And there was one dude there. And I don't know that I have seen a man as handsome as this guy in quite some time. And I say this as a heterosexual man who can look at another heterosexual man and think, it's just not fair. All right, I didn't think that, but it was odd, because actually, do you remember the episode when I was in Morrison's, horrified by the scumbag worker that was packing cookies into a bag without gloves? Do you remember how I was saying I was staring at him for so long, I realised I'd been staring, and I realised I needed to look away because I'd been staring so long, it was weird. That is exactly how it was with this guy. I just caught myself staring at him, and I thought, oh shit, you need to look away. But you can't just look away suddenly, because drastic movements just cause and draw more attention to the fact you've just spent the last 2 minutes just looking. So I just had to pretend my phone started ringing and say, hello, CK speaking, and just walk away. But this dude, I don't know. It's one of them things where, for as long as I can remember, whenever women talk about their ideal man, he kind of had it all going on. He was dark. He had contoured features. He had a bit of stubble going on. And do you know what really, really fucking annoyed me about this guy? What really pissed me off? The fact he was nice. I actually liked him. I mean, at least make him a bellend. Like,
I can live with that, because then I'm like, well, you might be good looking, but you're a dick. But the fact you're good looking and actually liked him instantly, because he didn't seem remotely, I don't know, he just seemed like a nice, warm guy. He didn't seem arrogant. There was one thing he said, and I thought, that has got to be a line. That has got to be a line. I can't remember how the subject came up, but at one point he says, I hate having my foot. Oh, by the way, have I mentioned he's an actor? Jesus Christ. Give a guy, right, good looking, nice, actor, right? And there's one point when he said, and this is what I thought was the line. He said, I don't like having my photo taken. I just don't feel comfortable. It just feels a bit too much like me. And I sort of, piss off. That is a line. That is a line. I bet that works. I bet every time a woman sees a beautiful man saying he hates having his photo taken, their knickers just drop. So where did that come from? Honestly, I feel like I should probably take a machete to this episode now. But I don't know. I don't like having my photo taken. I was like, mate, piss off. At least you've given me something to dislike you for now, because it's that line. But I don't know. Maybe he genuinely doesn't. I don't like having his photo taken, but yeah, I was looking at this dude and then I started clutching because he was nice. He was an actor on screen, by the way. You know, he liked to drop that in occasionally. Not necessarily in a narcissistic manner, but he did want to. I've been led to believe that the acting community like to make sure you understand which pocket of the acting world they reside in. Nope, I'm not in theatre. I'm on the screen. Or, conversely, theatre brings its own merit as well. And not screen for me, I'm strictly theatre, dear. So yeah, he wanted us to know that he's all about the screen. He's all about the films, right? And I was all right with that. I could let it slide. But I started clutching, right? I started clutching at straws because this guy was just too good looking, right? So I was like, hang on a minute. I've got to have something over this guy. What have I got that this guy hasn't got? What have I got? And it came to me quite quickly, actually. It came to me quite quickly, and I was like, oh. Because, look, let's be honest, right? Look, I don't believe in God, but, well, I don't necessarily believe in God, but I do believe in the universe, and I believe in the power. And the universe, I wouldn't say the universe is fair, but the universe tries. The universe definitely tries. And, you know, if the universe was fair, then we'd all be tens. Right. Or equally, we'd all be hideous, disgusting fools, and we'd all just be hideous and ugly together. But the fact there's that discrepancy in attractiveness suggests that the universe isn't fair. But it tries, and it gives those of us that are not necessarily as endowed in the attractive stakes, it gives us something. So my something over this guy was height. Right. I'm never good at heights. I reckon he must have been about 5'9", maybe 5'9". I'm 6'2", so I had height on this guy, and I felt good for all of 1.7 seconds. When I suddenly realised, so fucking what? Height in of itself is meaningless. Height is nothing. Height is a side dish. Height is basically coleslaw. Here's the thing about height, right? No woman in the history of women, when asked, what do you look for in a man? No woman has ever said height, then stopped talking. Height is always a prelude, stroke, an accompaniment to other things. It's always height, looks, dick. Or height, looks, profession. Or height, looks, ambitious. Or height, looks, plays the guitar. No woman has ever says height, then asked for a cup of tea and stopped talking. That just doesn't happen. So I'm thinking, oh, I've got height over this guy. So what? It was very fleeting. Height is a side dish. Let's be honest. Suddenly, as quickly as I felt good, I felt like garbage again. And I don't know. I don't know. I didn't like myself. I didn't like myself during this party, during this internal monologue I was having. But by the same token, at least I've had the decency to admit I liked the guy. But I was fascinated. I was fascinated by like how handsome he was. And I started thinking like, what are the perks of looking like you? There has to be perks. Let's be honest. I don't know what those perks are. I can just assume that they are perks. I mean, we can guess what some of them are, but there's probably going to be some subtle ones as well. I wonder if someone that said, I would say this guy was oscillating between, like, he was 9+. Like, you know, he was like a 9, a strong 9. And I reckon when you're a 9, the perks are probably quite subtle. Like, if you imagine that, let's say the average person lives to 90. Let's go for 80. Let's say the average person lives to 80, right? Over those 80 years, how many random discounts do you think a 9 has got? If we just use discounts in a shop, whether it's retail, whether it's whatever, restaurant, who cares? How many discounts will a 9 get vis-a-vis a 6 over the course of a lifetime? I would wager so much money that if the science has been done, 9s will get more discounts. Do you think that's fair? If there was a study of discounts measured against attractiveness, would people 8 and above have got more discounts than 7 and below? Yes or no? Do you think the statistics would stack up? As usual, direct message me, please, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, etc. I reckon there must be some perks. And because of that, I think to equalise everything, unnecessarily good-looking people should be taxed more than average folk. I've been thinking about this, and I do think that... I just think hot people should be taxed more than regular folk. And they should be taxed on a sliding scale, just like our income is taxed. So if we assume the average human is a 6, right? 7s should be taxed 20% more than 6s, in my opinion, right? 8s should be charged, let's say 8 should be taxed 30%. 9s, 40% more. And if you're a 10, right, you should get taxed 50% higher than 6s. And you should also be legally required to undertake 100 hours of community service every single month. I mean, come on, it's the least you can do. 100 hours of community service for 10s. And as a 10, you should be legally obliged to be tagged so that your whereabouts can be monitored and make sure that you'll go nowhere near the wives, the girlfriends and the partners of 6s and below. I'm sorry. 7s, 8s and 9s, they can fend for themselves. But I just don't want 10s anywhere near the partners, the wives, the girlfriends of 6s. So they should all be tagged. And this just makes a hell of a lot of sense to me. I'm sorry. Just tag them. I don't give a shit. Yay or nay to CK for PM. I just think we need to redress the balance. So let's tax the hot folk. I've got a question for you though. Because such was my descent into thought about the merits and the perks and the discounts that hot people get. I started thinking, oh, I wonder what it'd be like to be like a 10 for a day. What would it be like to be a 10 out of 10? Now, listen, I get that attractiveness is subjective. I don't want to get into the weeds of that debate. But whatever you consider physically attractive, I want you to consider that and use that as your own personal measurement. Would you, if there was a pill that would allow you to be a 10 out of 10 according to your own metrics of attractiveness, if you could be a 10 out of 10, would you take the pill that allowed you to be a 10 out of 10 for a month? However, T's and C's apply. The pill is 100% safe, no side effects, but it costs you £250 just to be a 10 out of 10 for a week. Would you take the pill? Think about that. While I sort out the speakers on my computer, because I need to play some stuff for you in a second. Would you take a pill that makes you a 10 out of 10 for a month? but it costs you £250. My answer to that question, without question, I'd wolf that pill down. I'd probably spend a little bit more on it, but as the price is £250, I would absolutely pay. Why? Well, think about it. What do? Mostly create content, short films, documentaries, social experiments. I am naturally curious. And given the fact that I'm currently, what am I, 6, depending on if I'm in the gym or not. If I'm hitting the gym a bit, I'll give myself a 6'8". Resting, 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", something like that. But just to spend my life as a 10, or at least a month as a 10, would be deeply fascinating just to see how people respond, how it affects people's interaction with me. I would absolutely wolf that pill down. Would you? Though. That's what I want to know. Would you take that pill if it'd make you hot for a month? Now, I put this out. This is really annoying because I sent this question out exclusively to my newsletter subscribers. If you're not subscribed to my newsletter, then I'd love you to do so. Go on to ckgolding.com, click join my newsletter, and you will get exclusive questions and stuff. Annoyingly, I always put at the bottom of the newsletter, if you don't want your name to be mentioned with your response, then let me know. And I got a great response from a woman who said, please keep this. This is between you and I. Thus making me think, well, why are you fucking telling me then? Talk about tickling a guy's balls and, oh, that was deeply frustrating. So I can't share the great response I got to that question, but I think I've got one somewhere. I can't find it now. I did get something on Twitter, but I can't find it. Screw it. Never mind. I'll be scrolling through my feed all day if I want to find that. But here's the thing, right, guys. I thought this was such a great question. I wanted to put it to the British public. And as you know, on this podcast, every now and again, occasionally, I have a feature called Random Human where I punch 11 random digits into my phone and whoever answers, I ask the question. Past questions during Random Human have included, can you ever be absolutely certain that your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife would never cheat on you? That was one question I asked in a previous episode. And this week's question was, if you could take a pill that would make you a 10 out of 10 for a month, would you take it? I didn't actually attach the price tag of 250 because I don't want to make it overly complicated, but I did ask that question. And guys, before I play you the one call I've got, can I just make one thing clear? This week, I tweeted about this. This week was impossible. This week was an absolute pain in the arse. I've never known whether I should play the phone calls from people who aren't interested or people who hang up, but I might one week. The only reason I haven't done it so far is because it'll just, well, honest answer, I'm lazy and I can't be arsed because it's going to be more editing and there's nothing in the audio. It's just people hanging up. One week, I promise I will play when people hang up or when people say, who are you? Don't know who you are. One week I will. But for this week, I have struggled. And do you remember the first time I did this? When did I first unveil this? Which week was it when I first did Random Human? Because I told you that I didn't record and I forgot to press record. And I went ballistic. I got a great phone call from a hairdresser, but I forgot to press record. I think that was week 27. Let me just double check. Yes. Week 27, worst thing a friend could do. And that was when I rang people up random and asked, what is the worst thing a friend could ever do to you? So check out episode 27 if you want to hear the genesis of Random Human. And it was week 28 when I asked the general public whether or not you can ever be absolutely certain that your partner, your husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend wouldn't cheat on you. So go back to episode 28 for that. But this week, I did exactly the same thing. I got a great phone call. It was a guy called Bob in Kent. first thing he said when I said, mate, it's CK, I do this thing when I ring up members of the public, and my question this week is, if you could take a pill that make you the most attractive guy, or at least a 10 out of 10 for a month, would you take it? First thing he said was, I don't need to. Then he started laughing. I said, what do you mean? He went, I don't need to take it. I said, why don't you need to take it? You're fit. And he went, well, no, I just don't think I need to take it. And I said, well, describe yourself. And he said, if we were stood in the same room, what would I see? And he said, you'd see a little short fella, quite fat, massive smile. And I thought that was a lovely thing to say from a guy. Like, and I said, well, why? Do you place a high premium on a smile? And he said, yeah, of course, you've got to. You don't want to be miserable all your life. And he was just a delight to talk to. And I said to him, all right, would your wife, because you told me you had a wife, if you were sleeping and your wife had access to the pill, would she drop it in your mouth? He started laughing. He went, she might, but I don't think so. And I said, would you drop it in her mouth? And he went, oh, it wouldn't be worth my life, mate. She'd kill me. And I went, mate, wrong answer. What you should have said is, she doesn't need it. She's beautiful. And he was like, oh, shit, you're right. So it was a great call. Got to the end of it. Realised I hadn't pressed record. And I didn't go as ballistic as I did in, in episode 27, but I was mildly pissed off. However, I persevered, and then this was the actual call that I did get.
Hello?
Hey, it's CK.
Hello?
Hello, hey, it's CK.
Who?
It's CK. I'm a UK-based podcaster. And
okay, hi.
Pardon? How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really well, thanks for asking. So every week on the show, I ring a random 11-digit number and ask a member of the public a question about life.
Okay.
Yes, and this week's question is, if you could take a pill that would make you a 10 out of 10 as far as attractiveness is concerned, but it only lasts a month, would you take the pill?
No.
That was a very definitive no.
No, yeah. I'm happy with what I look like. I don't need to be 10 out of 10.
Okay. What about pure curiosity? I don't think this necessarily comes down to vanity metrics. I think I'd be just fascinated from a social experiment just to see how people respond differently, whether it's favourably or less so.
I mean, I guess in that sense, then yeah, I probably would, just for curiosity, but otherwise, I don't think there's anything that sways me to want to do that.
So from vanity, no, but for pure curiosity and social experiment, you might be curious.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to proffer? Like, can you imagine what kind of differences what do you think you might experience, for example, during that 4-week period?
I honestly don't know. Maybe more friends.
More friends?
Social life? I honestly don't know. I'd be curious to see what would come from it.
I mean, are you currently satisfied and happy with your friends and social life, by the way?
Yeah, completely.
So it's not necessarily something you think could do with a boost, but you wouldn't. But by the same token, you'd be open to seeing what would happen.
Exactly.
Do you place any premium on looks, by the way? Whether it's from a friendship perspective or whether it's from a partner perspective, like how much of a premium do you place on looks?
What do you mean?
Well, That's a good question. What do I mean? I guess what I'm saying is, when I asked you the question, for example, I got the impression that you are very much the kind of person who doesn't give a toss what you look like. You're probably more curious on what their mind is like and how they are as a human. That's just what I deduced from how you answered the question. But I don't know how accurate I am with my speculation there.
Pretty accurate.
Right. So looks on high on your agenda when it comes to whether it's personal relationships, intimate relationships. No. Intimate relationships, does it count?
Yeah, it's more who the person is than what they look like and what I look like.
Okay. I mean, well, that's fine. But and you're happy with your appearance right now.
Yeah.
Because I give myself like a 6'2". I don't know whether you're willing to aggregate yourself or would you rather not?
I don't know, honestly. I don't know.
Actually, I think I wouldn't. Go on, carry
yeah,
on.
Yeah, no. I don't know.
I think you want to score yourself. I just gave myself a six. I'm kind of mid to high sixes. I'd probably edge towards a 6'8".
Yeah.
If I'm in the gym quite a bit, 6'8".
Yeah.
But my resting score was probably like a 6.4. Are you in the high sixes, would you say?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't think you'd proffer that, because I thought you'd think it was a bit sickening, but good on you. Well, listen, I'm really grateful for your response. I appreciate that. And good on you for at least curiosity, letting you take the pill and giving it a go and seeing what happens. But for now, we all wish you a beautiful week, and long may your friendship circle continue to be a fulfilling one.
Thank you.
All right, listen, enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay, bye-bye.
See ya, bye. And that was that. In previous episodes of Random Human, I've always asked for the person's name and where they are, but this week was unique, because as I mentioned before playing you that clip, this week was just impossible. Not only was I pissed off that I didn't record Bob from Kent, I was frustrated that I was just getting a lot of negative knobheads and not interested. I actually think you're now thinking, I want to hear those negative people, actually. And in your position, I would be the same. But as I said, this week, I've just had a shitload of stuff to do, and I'm out of time to get the audios pulled together. So that was my phone call with, let's call her Jane. I don't know. Well, I've gone for Jane. But I don't know. How can I put this delicately? I've only just listened back to that audio now with you. First time I've listened to it back. And I think it's a woman, but it could equally be quite a feminine-sounding man as well. I don't know. Like, did you... What sex did you assign to that person I spoke to? Because I was only listening to it now, and I thought, oh, actually, all this time I thought it's a woman, but it could be a... I don't know what I'm talking about here. I don't know if I'm making any sense, and I absolutely know for a fact it doesn't matter. But... you know, I'm curious. Regardless, I enjoyed the fact that Jane, she was quite pliable. She at first she wasn't interested in the pill. Then I suggested the curiosity angle, and she was like, "Good point. Yeah, I probably will take the pill." I don't know if I respect her for changing her opinion, or I've like, come on, have the decency to stick to your guns, for God's sake. I mean, like, if I can. If you've been that suggestible with a pill, can you also lend me 50 quid? that was Jane. But yeah, I enjoyed that phone call, actually. Do you know what? It got me thinking this week. I recorded that on Wednesday, so 2 days ago. And I was thinking, isn't it remarkable how... It's not remarkable. That's probably an overstatement. But isn't it interesting how you can call someone you've never spoken to, tell her I'm CK, I'm recording a podcast, I'd like to ask you a question, and she doesn't even flinch. She just goes, yeah, all right, then let's do that. But then I'd ask someone else, and I'd be like, who are you? How did you get my number? Not interested. It's just, I wonder what in their life and or background has brought each one to two very different responses to a stranger calling them out of the blue. What do you... I'm fascinated by that. And I spent a good, like, 20 minutes thinking about that. And to be fair, I don't have that much ill feeling towards people who aren't interested. I'm like, you know, sometimes we all get so many sales calls on our mobile. I have great sympathy with someone not wanting to talk to some knobhead called CK and his podcast that they've never heard of. That's fine. But equally, we all have the same sales calls. None of us have heard of CK. None of us care who he is. None of us have heard about my podcast. But why was Jane bang up for the conversation and warm and responsive and engaged? She's arguably had the same number of cell phone calls as people who aren't interested. So I'm just really interested in what sculpts people's response. And I don't know whether you'd like to proffer some ideas on what you think it is that makes some people responsive and receptive and some not. But regardless, this, incidentally, is a glorious segue, because depending on what time and what day you're listening to this podcast, as we speak right now, it is Friday the 21st of August, 6 minutes past midnight, and I'm still here talking to you. Unbelievable. I've got to start recording this podcast earlier, seriously. But depending on what time you listen to this podcast, at some point this Friday in the late morning, early afternoon, there's going to be a new interview on my website with a remarkable talent. She's an actress, British actress, called Louisa Connolly, Burnham, and I wasn't actually aware of her TV work or her until 2 weeks ago, but she has been on shows including Doctors, Holby City, Casualty, Midsummer Murders, Call the Midwife, I've already said that, Wolf Blood, Death in Paradise. And I hadn't seen her in any of those things. I just stumbled across her on Twitter because she had this new short film out. I watched the short film. It blew me away. I tweeted about it 2 weeks ago. It's called The Call Centre. It instantly became my favourite short film of the year. There's three short films I've seen this year that have blown my mind, and The Call Centre was one of them. I loved everything about it. I genuinely did. And I asked her if she'd be open to having an interview with me. We recorded the interview this morning, which is why I have not had time to offer you an interesting episode this week. But I am going to be uploading the interview onto, it was a phone call, I recorded the phone call, and I'm going to be uploading it onto my website, and it'll be up on my website at some point this Friday. So please go and check it out. The Call Centre is a drama thriller. It's a short drama thriller, just under 17 minutes, and it follows Paige, a shy, somewhat introverted customer service agent at a call centre, bored with life, completely oblivious to how this has become her life. She's got big ambitions. You can just tell by the way she stares out the window. And she gets a phone call one day and things kind of go wrong. Here's a clip from my favourite short film of the year.
Good afternoon, you've come through to Paige at Days Insurance. How can I help you today?
Hello, Paige.
Hello. How can I help you today?
I'd like to take out your life insurance policy. One of your colleagues, Sarah, I believe, sent me a quote last week. I think it sounds perfect.
Oh, fantastic. Just for security purposes, can you confirm your full name and your date of birth for me, please?
Of course. David Prescott, 24th of October, 1971. Ancient, basically. How old are you, Paige?
21.
Wow. 21. So young. Lovely.
Is it okay if I call you David?
I would like that, Paige.
Thank you, David. Well, I can see here that Sarah sent you out a quote for a cash lump sum of £250,000. Is that correct?
It is indeed. You have a lovely voice. Go on, you were saying.
To cover yourself for that amount, you'll be paying a monthly premium of £20.17. But there's nothing for you to pay for the first 30 days should you change your mind. Is that okay?
I really changed my mind. I know what I want.
Right.
So, I need to give you some more of an insight. Paige, expertly played by Louisa Connolly Burnham, is slightly exhilarated by this charming man on the phone. And she experiences a sexual exhilaration that she probably hasn't encountered before, on account of the fact that, as I already said, she's shy, she's somewhat introverted, and here's this seemingly charming guy paying her attention and he's interested. So such is the level of her, in inverted commas, arousal that she decides that she's going to actually write down his address, which is illegal, and she's going to just turn up unannounced at his door later that evening. And that is kind of where things go a little bit awry.
Why are you here, Paige?
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
I felt alive when I spoke to you.
And
I wanted to see you in real life. But I didn't know you have a family. I should have checked on the system. I should go.
No. don't go. Okay? You've come a long way. I'm happy to have you.
This was a mistake.
Stay.
No.
Stay!
Now, listen. Louisa not only plays the lead role of Paige, this is Louisa's directorial debut. She directed, wrote, and produced this short film, which, again, I absolutely adore. Not remotely surprised it's picked up a couple of awards, a clutch of nominations, and as we speak right now, it is almost 700,000 views on YouTube within, like, 4 months of its release. So it's called The Call Centre. It is remarkable. Go onto my website and there is a full 50-minute interview with Louisa. We talk about everything. I literally dissect the entire film. It's full of spoilers. So watch the film before you listen to the interview, because if you love the film as much as I did, and I know some of you did, because when I tweeted it 2 weeks ago, the response was overwhelmingly remarkable. So my interview with Louisa will be on my website at some point this Friday, depending on when you listen to this podcast. And it was a joy talking to her, and I genuinely see a bright future for her. And I want to do more of that kind of stuff on my website. Interview just great talents and people that inspire me, and I love their content. I definitely want to be doing more of that on my website. So go and have a listen and send me a DM. Let me know how you get on, or at least whether you enjoyed it. Now, homework for this week. Thank you for listening. Ahead of next week, I'd like you to let me know whether you would take the pill. But I am going to attach a price tag to this. So if you could be a 10 out of 10 in Lux for a month, but the pill costs you £250, no side effects, would you take the pill? That's your homework for this week. I'm just looking through my list of talking points because I've got a feeling that I've forgotten something this week, but I don't think I have. If you want to let me know whether direct messaging the cute girl was weird and out of order, you can also let me know. But if you think it was out of order, then I'm not interested.